we are doing Daf Nun Amud Beis of Maseches Brachos. We are holding at the bottom of Daf Nun Amud Aleph. I think we did the Mishnah last time. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah.
So just to basically review what the Mishnah said, if three people are eating together, can they divide up in each bench in their own corners?
No.
No. Four people?
No.
No. Five people?
No.
Six people?
Yes.
Yes. Seven people?
Yes.
Yes. Eight people?
Yes.
Nine people?
Yes.
Ten people?
No.
No. Okay, good. So we're all good. And then we had said that if you have two people, two groups that are eating in the same house, and some of them see some of them, you know, there's a little overlap in terms of who can see you from one group to the other, they can all join together for their own zimun. And then we said that a person should, that there's a machlokas whether one recites a bracha on wine that has not been diluted. Apparently, when they used to make wine, none of our wine is diluted, but when they used to make wine, it was gross if it was not diluted. It was like a syrup. So you would not make a bracha, according to Rabbi Lazar, on wine that is not diluted. Says the Gemara, my kamashmalan, what's the chiddush of that first line in the Mishnah, that if three people eat together, then they have to do a zimun? Tanina chad zimno, we already learned this once. Gimel sha'achlu ka'achas chayav lezamein. If three people eat together, they're chayav in zimun. Good. So I already know that you're chayiv in zimun, and obviously if you're chayiv in zimun, you're not allowed to not do a zimun. You can't split up and avoid the zimun. So isn't this obvious? Says the Gemara, three possibilities of what the chiddush might be. Possibility number one, hakamashmalan. The Mishnah is teaching us the following. Ki adarami da amar Rabbi Abba amar Shmuel. It's teaching us the din of Rabbi Abba amar Shmuel, which is gimel sheyashru le'echol ka'achas. What does that mean?
Down.
Good. Three people sat down to eat together. Va'adayin lo achlu, but they haven't actually done anything. They didn't eat yet. Even then, inan rashad mechalik. Even then, they're not allowed to divide up. They're not allowed to break up. They didn't even eat. Still not allowed to break up, because that's already a chiyuv zimun just by planning on eating together. That's one possibility of what the chiddush is. Now that would be quite a chiddush, that that's enough to create a chiyuv zimun even though they haven't even eaten anything. Next, Lishnachrina, Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel, Hachi Katani. Now this is the Chiddush. Gimel sheyashvu lechol ka'achas, afal pi shekal echad ve'echad ochel mikikaro, enen rashal nechalek. Three people sit down to eat together, and each one eats from his own little lunch bag, from his own little loaf of bread. Even so, they're not allowed to divide up, and they have a zima, which means that apparently there's a havamina out there that if everyone's eating from their own little lunch bag, that there's no chiyuv zimun. So that's why our Mishnah has come to tell us, no, there's still chiyuv zimun, even though everyone's eating their own lunch. Why would you think there's no chiyuv zimun? Well, I'm supposed to eat your lunch, and then I'm going to have a chiyuv zimun. Why would you think there's no chiyuv zimun just because everyone's eating their own lunch? They're not partaking from the same food. So maybe that's not considered a tziruf of the people. You know, in order to make a zimun, you have to have some sort of combination, some sort of tziruf of the people. Someone just sent me an email last week that Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky paskins that in yeshivas, when people go for a lunch, for to eat lunch in the chadar ochel or whatever, in the dining room in yeshiva, that they shouldn't make a zimun. Only on Shabbos they should make a zimun. So, and the question in the email was, where on earth does this come from? Why would he say such a thing? So apparently he understands that a lunchroom in yeshiva is just where people happen to eat, but no one goes there to eat together. But on Shabbos, all the yeshiva comes together and they eat together, so it's more of a togetherness thing. Someone told me that Rav Nevin saw paskins that way. Anyone know? Anyone have any relatives in Mitiv or Rakoto? I don't know, but that's what they say. What? I don't know how it works in Vaseret either. I don't think they follow every sheet of Rav Nevin saw in Vaseret. But okay, so good. Inami, a third possibility what the chiddush is. Kiyad Rav Huna, it's coming to teach me what Rav Huna said. Amar Rav Huna, gimel shaba'u mi gimel chaburos enan rashal lichalik. Let's say you had three guys each eating in a different group. Three different groups in three different places. One guy departs from each group, from each of three different groups, and they converge together. Right? Now they have their own chiyuv zimun together, even though they didn't actually eat together. They ate in their original groups. Now they have their own chiyuv zimun together. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah. They're not allowed to break up now from this new group. Ah, you're asking, how were they allowed to break up from the old group? Good question. Amar Rav Chisda, v'hu shabo migimel chaburos shel gimel bnei adam. It has to be that they came from three chaburos that each had three people. so that they already became chayiv, at least three people. So they already became chayiv in the zimun when they were in their old group. And that's why now they're in a new group, that chayiv zimun didn't go away. Their chayiv zimun is still there because they never satisfied that chayiv zimun from the old group. Amar Rava, v'lamar el delawak dimu hanach v'azman alay b'duchtayu. But that's only if their original group hasn't yet benched with the zimun. Once they, let's say each group had four people. Okay, take that as an example. Each group had four people. Group A has four people, group B has four people, group C has four people. Person number one from group A, person number one from group B, person number one from group C, all converge together, they leave their groups and they come together to make a new group, right? If the original groups, A, B, and C, each do a zimun now, this newly formed group D cannot do a zimun unless they actually eat together. They can't rely on the fact that they ate before to do zimun now. Why not? Because that zimun's already been satisfied. That chiv zimun that they had has already been satisfied by the other people in the group doing a zimun. You're not supposed to, okay, but they did. They did. Right? I think you have to assume that way. Aval azman alayu b'duchtayu parav zimun minayu. If they already had, if their groups already did a zimun back at home where they started at their starting point, parach zimun minayu. Zimun flies away from them. The chiyuv went away. Amar Rava mina aminala. Rava says, where do I get this idea that if the original groups did a zimun, then you have no chiyuv zimun in the new group? He says, oh, I learned it from a Mishnah in Kalim. Where else? Ditznan. The Mishnah says, mita she nignava chetzia. Let's say you have the worst ganav of all time. Comes into your house and he doesn't steal your bed. He steals half of your bed. He takes a saw, saws your bed in half, and takes half of it. The ultimate prank. Oh, sha'avda chetzia. Or the bed, you lost half of it. Okay. Oh, sha'chalkua achin. Or two brothers, they both inherit a bed, and they're like, how are we going to split this? Well, let's just cut it in half. Okay, each one takes half. Oh, shutvin. Or two partners in the bed, and they cut it in half. Tahora. The bed is tahor. Why is it tahor? Because it's no longer a kli. In order for a kli to become, tummy, it's got to be a functional kli. Once it's cut in half, it's no longer a functional kli. It therefore cannot become tummy, and if it was tummy, it becomes tahor. Breaking a kli is a way of making it tahor. So this is broken. Hechziruha, what if you glue it back together? So, can it become tame now? Well, what do you think? If you glue it back together? Yeah, it's a functional kli, right? So, mekabel is tumah mikan alaba. If you glue it back together, and then it contacts sharetz or something, so it'll become tame. What if it was tame before you broke it, right? Then you cut it in half. So now it's tahar. Now you glue it back together. Is it automatically tame again because the original tuma comes back? Or do you say, no, that tuma went away when we broke it? So it can become tame again, but it's not actually tame from the old. So says Rava, I'm a dayik from this Mishnah. It says it will become tame mikan alaba, henceforth. Mikan alaba in, but lemafreya lo. Retroactively, it doesn't go back to its old tuma. Why not? Alma kivan de palgua parach la tuma mina. Once you cut it in half, the tuma flew away from it, and that tuma does not return. Ah, hachanami, here too, kivan dasman alayu parach zimun minayu. Since the original group benched, the chiv zimun from every member of that original group flew away. And therefore, when one member of group A, one member of group B, one member of group C all get together and don't eat together, they don't have a chiyuv zimun because their chiyuv zimun already flew away. If they want to bench together, what are they going to have to do? Eat together. Good. Main point number, I think it's 5 on the bottom of Nun Amud Aleph. Three possible chidushim of the Mishnah. Either A, once a group decides to eat together, even if they haven't eaten, they can't split up. B, even if each member of the group is eating his own private lunch, they can't split up. Even if each member of the group is eating his own private lunch, his own loaf of bread, they cannot split up. And C, three people from three different groups conjoined together in a zimun. Three people, three different groups conjoined together in a zimun. There are two more topics, essentially, on this amud. One topic is about what constitutes wine, meaning, because we had a machlokas in the Mishnah, whether wine needs to be diluted. So, like, what is it if it's not diluted? It's not wine, so then what is it? Is it water? Is it, like, orange juice, you know, grape juice? Like, what is it exactly? Then the other topic we're going to have is whether, in what ways you're not allowed to disrespect food.
So, like, you're not allowed to...
Oh, like throwing food. We're going to talk about that, that kind of thing. So those are the two topics we have left. So let's see. Now that I've wet your palate. Beis chaburos. So we said if you have two different groups that some of the people in one group could see, some of the people in the other, they could combine for a zimun. Tana, im yeh shamash b'nei and shamash mitzarfan. If they happen to have the same waiter, they could also combine in a zimun because he's the person that combines the two groups. Fine. What? Yeah?
I feel like that. I meant to repeat. I feel
The shamish joining in the zimun, right? Not connecting to chaburos. Good call. Ein mevarchim al yayin. So we said, according to Rav Lazar, you cannot make a bracha on wine unless it is diluted. Tan rabbanan yayin hachal nasan tochamayim. If you have wine that you have not yet put water into, ein mevarchim al baruch priya gafen. You do not recite a baruch priya gafen. Ella baruch priya eitz. What bracha do you recite? Baruch priya eitz. Why baruch priya eitz? It's not a fruit. You didn't dilute it. Isn't this like drinking orange juice? What bracha do you make in orange juice? Shackles. Why is this about priates? So apparently it's not like drinking orange juice. But it's also not wine, so it doesn't get the chashivas of bar priya gafen. Right, exactly. Vinotam yimenu liyadayim. Whoa! Notam yimenu liyadayim. You turn on your faucet in the morning and there's no water coming out for some reason and you need to do netilas yadayim. Just take your undiluted wine and do netilas yadayim with that. Why? It has a din of water, apparently. Has a din of water, Rashi says. D'shem mayim alav. Why is shem mayim alav, says Rashi? D'mei peros bialma mikri. Because it's a fruit juice, and fruit juices have a din of water. Says Tosfos, wow, you're allowed to do netilas yadayim with fruit juice? That's quite a chiddush, Rashi's telling you. Take your Tropicana and do 100% fruit juice. That's what sets it apart. Take your Tropicana and do Natilus dying with it. Unbelievable. They say also the bugs and the peels set it apart. But okay, we'll leave that alone. For now. Leave that alone. Okay, but right. It wouldn't have all the din of water because there are explicit sugyas about that. That's what we call Chametz Nuksha. Once you put water in it, once you've diluted it, so you say a bracha of bar priya gafen, and you cannot wash with it. Divrei Rabbi Elazar, that is Rabbi Elazar's opinion. The Chachamim say either way, you say bar priya gafen and you cannot wash with it. Kiman azla hadam Shmuel, osa adam kol tzracha v'pas. Whose shita is Shmuel following when he says that you could do whatever you want with bread? What does it mean, kol tzracha, whatever you want? It means non-food purposes. What kind of use would you have for bread if not for food? A pillow? Okay, that's a good one. When I was in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have napkins. So we had two options. There were the drapes, the curtains. So those got gross after a while. Like, they were good for Elzman, but then, you know, like, after... And then there was always lots and lots and lots of bread. More than we needed. Bread absorbs very nicely. So if your hands are all greasy from schnitzel night, and you need to wipe off your hands, so a little bit of bread, and you clean off your hands. So are you allowed... What?
Bread probably tasted it.
Well, I mean, the minhag wasn't heated then. But so Shmuel says, yeah, whatever you want with the bread. Kiman Rabbi Elazar, that's going like Rabbi Elazar. How does that connect to Rabbi Eliezer? What did Rabbi Eliezer say? Yeah, wash your hands with your grape juice and it's fine. If you're allowed, obviously, you're allowed to use food for non-food purposes. Amr Rabbi Yossi, right? You're allowed to make picture frames with noodles around it or whatever, I don't know, kids do in their, you know. Amr Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Modim Chacham Larblazer Bekoshal Bracha Shein Varchem Alav Ad Shitil Tochamayim. Even the Chacham who say you're allowed to say Bar Piragaf in an undiluted wine, say, but don't use it for Koshal Bracha. For Koshal Bracha, you should make sure that it's diluted. My Taima, why? Amar Rav Hoshaya Bein on Mitzvah Min Amuvcha. Because for a Koshal Bracha, you should have something that's really Chashav. V'Rabbanan L'may Chazi. According to Rabbanan, what would you ever use undiluted wine for? Why would you ever drink undiluted wine that they think you say Bar Piragafen? So says Maram Rabbi Zera, Chazi Likuraiti. There's apparently some sort of health drink that people would have for refuah purposes that involved undiluted wine. So that's why it would still retain its Bar Piragafen status. Main point number one, Nun Amud Beis, Machlokas, whether undiluted wine is considered wine or water. But all agree that it shouldn't be used for a koshal bracha. It's a machlokas whether it's wine or water, but everyone agrees, do not use it for a koshal bracha. Tan Rabbanan, we have a braisa. Dal dvarm, nemu pas. Four things about bread. Number one, ein manichin basar chaya lapas. Don't put raw meat on bread. Number two, vein mavirun kos male alapas. No, it means raw. The ein mavirun kos male. You know, you ever have like a really rare steak, and someone says, "Oh, it's still mooing," like an expression, right? The ein mavirun kos male alapas, and do not pass a full drink, a full kos, over bread because it could spill out and then ruin the bread because bread that gets soggy is gross. Number three, the ein zorkin esapas. Do not throw bread. Number four, ve'in somchin esakara bepas. Don't prop up your plate with bread. You know, for presentation or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess like a caterer might want to do that or something. You know, like if they have a fancy way of presenting it, they may come up with it.
I feel like the first one would be obvious, because raw meat is kind of not that great. So I feel like that's a little...
Oh, they used to actually eat. It used to be a thing that there were certain types of raw meat that they would eat. Like we eat raw fish. Like the Gemara would say, ooh, gross, you can't eat raw fish. But yeah, we do a lot of it. It's like every store in the...
Pass and drink over bread because it might get soggy or whatever. But then what about what you guys say? Like, you wiped it with grease and then it's all greasy and then you're not going to eat it.
Right. So you're not allowed to do gross things with food. Yeah. I mean, don't make it gross. Don't do things that will get it to be gross.
But I thought you guys used to add napkins.
I didn't say we were supposed to. You're not supposed to. No, definitely. I think everyone agrees you're not supposed to do that. I think that is not a not something you're supposed to.
This, like, for a long time, I was like 6 months.
What?
Like every like 6 year old violates all of
them. Oh, okay. But you're also, your mother always tells you not to, right? So this is like one of those things. They're like, oh, don't throw your food.
That's
where it comes from. Brachos
Nun Mem Beis. Sixth graders that are dumping like chalos into cups of soda for no reason.
Good, right? So you should not do that either. There's a, what about the following? Sometimes you'll go to a simcha,
salt,
and they'll have a bowl of soup where the bowl is made out of bread. It's awesome, because then you have like this, it's like saturated with like the soup, and right after you finish the soup, like you get to literally eat the plate. Oh, the salads, they'll use a bowl made out, right, like those, oh, very good, right? Or sometimes they'll have a bowl made out of regular stuff, but a bread covering that's like crusted over the soup so that it retains the heat so that the waiters don't have to work as fast and the soup will still be hot.
Yeah.
Right? Those
sounds
are
like you go to good.
Oh, those are delicious. Yeah, well, I go to a lot of weddings. Yes, okay. You'll get there. Your friends will get married one day and miss some YouTube. Says, so where are we up to? Amemar Marzutra Ravashi, Karku Rifta Bade Adadi. Amemar Marzutra Ravashi were having lunch together. So they were in yeshiva eating lunch. I see the kamay of tamri v'rimoni. So they brought dates and pomegranates to the meal. Shakal Marzutra pasak l'kami d'Ravashi distana. Marzutra took it. He threw some meat in front of Ravashi. Threw it. Amalei lo sever l'mar l'had d'tani ein zorken esochlin. Didn't your mother ever teach you that the Brisa says you're not supposed to throw food? So he says, hey, v'pas tanya. Ah, it's just bread. Don't worry. I was throwing you meat, so it's all good. Vatanya, but don't you know the Brisa that says Kshem Shein Zorkin as a pas, Kachin Zorkin as a uchlin? Just like you're not allowed to throw bread, you're not allowed to throw other food either. I see your brisa, and I raise you another brisa that says that even though you're not allowed to throw bread, but you can throw food. You just have to ask yourself, will it become disgusting? If it's the kind of thing that can become gross because you threw it, don't throw it. If it's the kind of thing that nothing will happen to, you know, you have to think about, like, would you throw it at a bar mitzvah boy in shul? Right? So those little sun-kissed that are perfectly wrapped in those plastics, they won't get gross. They're going to be delicious afterwards. They're still going to be fine. But if you're throwing, like, marshmallows that are not in a bag or anything, and, like, someone will step on it, it's disgusting. So you don't want to throw it.
What if it's marshmallow in a bag?
Oh, so in a bag, maybe it's different. Tana Rabbanan. Main point number two. You're not allowed to disrespect bread or throw any food that will get ruined from throwing it. Speaking of throwing candies or food at chassan or at a bar mitzvah boy, this might be the source for it, the next brisa. Tan Rabbanan, mamshichin yayin betzinoros lefnei chassan lefnei chala. You want good shtick for a wedding? Make an elaborate system of pipes and run wine through those pipes in front of a chassan and chala. And also, v'zorkin lefneim klayos ve'agozim b'mosachama v'lo b'mosach shamin. Throw all sorts of nuts at them, but only during the summertime, not during the wintertime, because the floor is all muddy during the wintertime, and any food that ends up on the floor is going to be disgusting. But as long as they won't ruin the food, throw food at them. So apparently this was a thing. To make a chassan and kala happy, you throw food at them. So that's a minute that somehow has stuck.
Well, of course it's free food.
Avalogus klaos, lo, but don't throw like cakes. Not in the wintertime, not in the summertime, because that will get gross no matter what you do. It's like, oh, here's a chocolate cake with icing. And you throw it, it's going to be disgusting. Main point number three. You can use food to be mesameh chassan kala as long as you don't ruin it. Let's do a little bit more. Amar Rav Yehuda. Following common case. Shachach v'hichnis ochlin l'toch piv. Below bracha. You forgot, you put food in your mouth and you forgot to recite a bracha. It doesn't have to be that you forgot. It could just be that you're one of those guys that doesn't say a bracha, but you're from friends who gave you the food, says, hey, you didn't say a bracha. So now you're like, uh-oh, I got food in my mouth. I got to say a bracha now. So what do? The food's already in your mouth. Misalkal tzadech anu mevarech. Move the food over to one side of your mouth and say a bracha. Tanya chada. We have three different brises. One brise says bola. Just swallow whatever's in your mouth. Don't say a bracha, just swallow it. V'tani idach, another brisa says, poltan, spit it out, whatever's in your mouth, spit it out. V'tani idach, third brisa, misalkan, just move it to the side of your mouth and say a bracha that way. So which is it? Question mark, which is it? Says Gemara Lokasha. Ha, d'tanya bolan b'mashkin. If it's a liquid, swallow it, because you can't move it to the side of your mouth and still effectively say a bracha. Ha, d'tanya poltan. The one that says spit it out, b'midi d'lamamis, is something that won't get disgusting if you spit it out. You just put the second candy in your mouth, you have the wrapper still in your hand, you can put it right back in the wrapper for a second, say the bracha, and then you can put it right back in your mouth. V'tani misalkan b'midi d'lamamis. The one that says you should move it to the brisa that says move it to the side of your mouth, that's if it's something that would be disgusting to spit out. B'midi d'lamamis nami l'salkinu l'salach v'livrach. Ask the Gemara, even if it's a sucking candy, why not just move it to the side of your mouth and say the bracha? Why do you have to spit it out for to say the bracha? Just move it. If it works, you can say the bracha. You're able to do it. Why not? Tirgum Rav Yitzchak Kaskasa'a Kamed Rav Yossi Baravin Mishmed Rav Yochanan Mishum Shenemar. The reason you can't move it over to the side of your mouth, if you have another option, is because the pasuk says Yimalei Pi Tehilasecha. What does that pasuk mean? How does it show us this? Yimalei, what's Yimalei? Fill your mouth with Tilasecha, the praise of Hashem. But if your mouth is half full with food, it's not totally full with the praise of Hashem. So you're supposed to have
entirely full. Why do we still have the rice in the first place?
The halacha of moving to the side of your mouth is when you have no other option. It'd be, right, you can't spit it out. Main point number four, if you put food in your mouth without a bracha, so three things. A, if it's liquid, swallow it. B, if it's a solid that won't get disgusting, spit it out. And C, if it's a solid that will get disgusting, move it over to the side.
But again, if it's something that gets disgusting, you can't even swallow it.